This is a summary or summarized from an article in the Guardian's Californian Sunday magazine. With a little artistic license added. The full moon cast an ethereal glow over Santa Barbara, draping the landscape in silvery light. Lemuel Hines clung desperately to an ancient oak tree, 50 feet above the ground, his breath coming in ragged gasps. The rhythmic pounding of his heart echoed like a relentless war drum in the still night. Below, the barking of dogs and the sinister cherry red and blueberry flicker of police car lights cut through the darkness, painting the scene with an eerie hue. Lemuel seemed destined for prison. Poor, black, with a father already behind bars. Now he was on the run, fleeing from a botched home invasion and armed robbery. Terrified, he thought, "This is it. I've become my father." But as dawn broke, the police were gone, and Lemuel ran, forever a fugitive. For 10 long years, life was an unending nightmare. Constantly looking over his shoulder, his identity hidden behind a confusion of names. The dread of capture clung to him like a shadow. His mind tormented by the armed and dangerous warrant the police had raised on him. Each day he danced with death, either from stray bullets in a crime-ridden neighborhood or the looming specter of a violent police encounter. The weight of breaking his mother's heart and losing his family gnawed at his very soul. He developed a stutter, severe insomnia, and high blood pressure. The next drink became his favorite pastime. One day, US Marshals, guns drawn, raided his mum's house. And after 10 years, reality kicked in. He couldn't outrun his past any longer. He surrendered. The judge recognized Lemuel's dedication to his family and genuine efforts to avoid crime. He showed Lemuel mercy, 22 years of it, a suspended sentence. Instead of 44 years to life, Lemuel was to be imprisoned in the community, including a 2-year residential program. But freedom came with the ball and chain of strict parole conditions. Break them, and it was straight to jail. Could he keep on the straight and narrow for 22 years? The deep shadow of his probation conditions loomed large, a virtual cage in the midst of normality, a constant reminder that despite the judge's mercy, the price for his past must be paid. So Lemuel was a fugitive, and his life was cloaked in dread, and he was imprisoned by his actions. And for a decade, he wandered in anxiety and fear, always on guard, perpetually anxious, fearing his past would catch up with him. It was a life devoid of solace, filled with the threat of discovery. Constant vigilance. Every siren, every police car, every glance brought cold sweats. And his nights were haunted by restlessness, depression, and anxiety. Lemuel's hope for survival was to remain invisible, to avoid attention, and remember false names, those names behind which he hid. But he had still a desire for a normal family life, a life free from fears. And he held to the mantra of the fugitive, "If I can just remain invisible, Perhaps I'll be all right. But then life changed when his mother was threatened and he surrendered to the law. And he received mercy, 22 years of mercy, not in prison, but in the community, trapped by the bars of his parole conditions. One fear became replaced by another, and he was incarcerated within the ordinary confines of life. An ordinary house, an ordinary apartment, in an ordinary street with ordinary shops and ordinary people around and about. But his life was no longer ordinary, because parole was a cage. Break one rule and it would be imprisonment. Because justice demanded its due and there was no escape from the penalty. The conviction had been made, the penalty had been imposed, and he was enslaved. Lemuel had to pay the price one way or another. There was no escape. He was forever the fugitive. And that is a universal principle of justice. Now, about 2,000 years, before, the Pharisees were in debate with Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "What I am about to tell you is true. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. So if the Son of Man, that is Jesus, sets you free, you will really be free." Now, when Janet and I got married, and this is not to do with the incarceration of marriage, because it's not like that at all, I promise you. I have to say that, otherwise I'm in trouble. When we got married, it was a cold, grey, blustery, wet, dull October day. It was a joy for us, but the weather was pretty grim. And we had our photographs taken outside the church, and behind us was a screen of shrubs between the edge of the church grounds and the main road. And just over to the left was a pelican crossing. And there was one dear lady in our church, Miss Taylor, and she'd been a missionary in China. And I wish I'd thought and had more care for China at the time, because I think if I met her now, I would have lots of questions to ask her. But she took out her Kodak Instamatic and she took this photograph of Janet and I standing together, backs to the shrubs. And I guess 2 or 3 weeks later, she gave us this little square photograph. She was really pleased with it. It was fairly dark. The flash had gone, so Janet and I were visible. But there was this little red glow on my left shoulder between Janet and me. And that was the picture, or that was the glow, of a little red man. A little red man standing on my shoulder. And that makes a nice story. But I've often thought that little red man is there. It wasn't God telling us we'd made an awful mistake. But it reminds me that we have that whisper so often, don't we? Like a little man on our shoulder, reminding us of our regrets, reminding us of the past actions, the things that we did and said that we shouldn't have done, the things we should have done and said but didn't, the thoughts that we'd had about people, all of those things that are still there and whisper from time to time in our ears. You see, we all have that little red man of reminder on our shoulders. And in that respect, we, like Lemuel, are fugitives, hiding from the things we would rather forget, hoping they don't catch up with us. And if you think about the ways we try to hide from things, we try diversion, which is throwing ourselves into entertainments and hobbies so that we're occupied with other things. There's deflection. Not my fault, he did it. Justification. There was no choice. It was quite reasonable. Minimization, we downplay it. It really wasn't that bad. And then we make excuses. We deny awareness. It just sort of happened. And denial, we refuse to acknowledge things. And then we choose perhaps to try to ignore it. If we ignore it long enough, it might just go away. There are all of these things that sit in our lives. And also, in addition to all of that, we also have our own false gods. The things that we put inordinate amounts of effort into, the things that become more important to us than anything else. And they fill all the places that should be occupied by the one true Creator God. And that leads to a spiritual parallel to all of those things that we've accrued in our lives. And it's the red man, I would say a big red man rather than the little red man, of our fear of being accountable to God. Because he is the Creator and we are accountable to him. Now, Lemuel's rebellion was living life on his own terms, charting his own course, trying to take what he wanted. And that all went wrong. And we understand that that demands a penalty. And Lemuel ended up paying that penalty. But our own rebellious rejection of God is also attempting to live our lives on our terms, ignoring him and charting our own course. And that's what the Bible calls sin. Attempting to live our lives on our own terms, ignoring God and charting our own course. And there's a penalty for that rebellion. Just as Lemuel had to pay a penalty for his rebellion, there is a penalty for our rebellion also. Lemuel's penalty was 22 years. The penalty for rejecting God is eternal. It lasts forever. And that also is a universal principle of justice. But God, like the judge, offers mercy. But his mercy is complete and perfect. The judge could only waive a bit of the penalty. Instead of 44 years to life in prison, Lemuel saw 22 years outside of prison, but he was still bound by the bars of those parole conditions. He still had to pay the penalty. But God has provided a way, has he not, to pay that penalty. And God's mercy was based on Jesus' willingness to sacrifice himself on the cross. And that's why he was able to say, I can set you free, and you will be really free if you believe in me. And we can dig into that a bit more. So there with Paul writing in Romans 5, we read, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, while we were still in rebellion. And if you were once in rebellion, and know for yourself what Jesus has done, then rejoice. Rejoice. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. And that's why we can rejoice. Because the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross, voluntarily making that sacrifice, means that we are saved from God's condemnation. And that's why his mercy is perfect, unlike the judges. And that works, Peter tells us, because Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. See, justice has to be served. The penalty has to be paid. And for us to be free, we have to be made free of that penalty. And God did it through Jesus in some way that we don't really understand. Our guilt was transferred to Jesus and his innocence transferred to us. And therefore, he was able to carry our sins in his body on the tree and pay the price, the penalty that we owed. And that means we can be dead to sin and live for what is right, because by his wounds, by his sacrifice, we have been healed. And Paul goes on to say, well, said earlier on in chapter 3, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus. And this is true for everyone who believes. That's another universal truth. Everyone who believes will receive the benefit of being made right with God by the work of Jesus on that cross. For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight while we were still rebellious. He chose to make us right in his sight. And he did that through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. And people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus is sacrificed, or sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Jesus paid the price for us, and we are set free in the jargon by faith. That means believing, trusting the things that God tells us about Jesus and what Jesus said about himself, dying upon the cross, and trusting God when he tells us that there is a never-ending penalty to pay for our rebellion. A never-ending penalty for choosing to live life, our way, charting our own course without him. And if we believe, we are then no longer condemned, and we're forgiven by God, no longer fugitives. And unlike Lemuel, there are no parole conditions. Lemuel was stuck in the community, trapped by 22 years of parole conditions. One slip and he was inside. But because Jesus took those penalties for us and justly paid them, there are no parole conditions on us. And we can thank God for that. So when you recognize that little red man at the pedestrian crossing, when you go to cross the road, just remember that apart from Christ, we are fugitives from God. We're trapped in that kind, in a similar place to which Lemuel was trapped. Fugitives from God's justice. But with him, we are really free, because Jesus paid the penalty of our conviction. And that's God's promise. God's promise is freedom through Jesus. True freedom from the red man, from that little man on our shoulder. True freedom from the just penalty, because it's been paid. There is no longer a penalty demanded. And if we believe, we have been made right with God. Because Jesus promised, if I set you free, you will really be free. So if you have believed, if you do believe that and you belong to Jesus, rejoice, because you have received that freedom. And then be encouraged by the remainder of all the things that God has done for you. But if you're not yet free, if you still are that fugitive from God, you must make a sincere commitment to God. First, acknowledge that God invites you to trust him. And that starts by recognizing that Jesus is his son, and acknowledge that you have lived life on your own terms, charting your own course, and need his forgiveness. Then apologizing to God for living independently of him, and recognizing Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross as the means of our forgiveness. Then turning from living your life on your terms and receiving God's help and direction for your life. It's like saying a big yes to God, to him and his purpose for us. And if you can, I'd encourage you to say that big yes to God. But sometimes we're perhaps not ready for a big yes. But need to make a smaller step, a little yes, as it were, deciding to explore God and Christianity more. And if you can't say a big yes, perhaps you can say a little yes to God. And you might not even be ready for the little yes, but would you keep an open mind and maybe explore God and Christianity some more? Think of it as a healthy maybe. Can you say a healthy maybe to God? If you want to talk about these things, then you can speak to me or someone else in the congregation that you trust. And I'd also let you know that we're in a couple of months, we hope to be running a 3-session program called Hope Explored, which is a way for those that want to delve deeper to dig into and understand the gospel more. But I'd encourage you to remember that by God's mercy, if we believe, Jesus paid the penalty for living our lives our way and ignoring him. Therefore, we are, or can be, truly, really, completely free. And may the Lord bless us and bless you.